Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias. Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Hey, Laura Beth.
Hey, Lainey.
Well, I'm just feeling like a sense of Southern pride today with celebrating the birthday of Dolly Parton a couple days ago.
Yep.
And then the amazing wonderfulness that was Martin Luther King Jr. I just, all that on my mind, I'm feeling a bit of Southern pride.
Mm-hmm. So much to be proud of. And we're kind of celebrating with some appetizers. I've got my mouth full of cheese straws right now.
Yes, I made a version of, it's kind of a version of a cheese straw. The recipe is actually called cheese wafers. But
okay.
The reason I made this is because of how simple it is. Could not be more basic. Three ingredients. A cup of flour.
Cup of flour.
Stick of butter.
Stick of butter.
And a jar of Old English spread made by Kraft.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's
usually with
totally
the cheeses, right?
With like, Velveeta and stuff, like the
right.
processed cheeses.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying this is healthy nor,
nobody claimed to be healthy with Southern cooking. Nobody.
But I love this recipe because if you keep, a jar of this English spread, and you probably almost always have a cup of flour and a stick of butter in the pantry, this literally can be from ingredients to on the plate in 20 minutes.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share it for that reason alone.
They are tasty.
And they're tasty.
Yeah, very flavorful. Kind of tastes like one of the good cheddar biscuits you get at like a Red Lobster. It's got that consistency.
Well, yeah, and those have more herbs and flavor. And you can add more to this. I have added cayenne and smoked paprika to it to give it more of a flavorful kick, but
right.
I wanted you to try them just with the basic.
I like it
three.
Just like this.
You can have it with tea, or
it could be a breakfast or afternoon appetizer, like a breakfast item because it's kind of got a biscuit consistency.
Exactly.
Or it could be a.
And
appetizer.
If you wanted to shape it more like a cheese straw,
it
would work like that.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not saying this is the best cheese straw recipe, but it is very easy.
Pretty darn good,
pretty tasty.
I would say. Well, thank you for pulling that out and whipping that up for us. So I had this really fun book that I came across, which really lent well to a topic we wanted to be talking about today. The book is called The Beauty Box, A Tribute to the Legendary Beauty Parlors of the South. And it is both a book of photography, but also some stories of all these different beauty shops across the South.
I love it.
There's probably, they've got it divided up by state. I think they probably took a look at maybe 30 different
salons. How fun.
But we've been wanting to talk about beauty shops. And one of the quotes that I loved really right. I mean, I think it was probably right in the introduction of this book, The Beauty Box, was it said, in many ways, the old fashioned Southern beauty shop is a folk tradition that seems fast on its way to extinction. Younger working women can't imagine sitting under a hairdryer every week when a bi-monthly cut and style and a daily home shampoo require less time, energy, and probably money. What turns up missing from that progressive routine are the characters and drama that inspire uniquely Southern works of art.
Oh, yeah.
And, just as even a mention to the name of our show, sort of the culture that we want to preserve in the South, I was reminded that it was the Louisiana playwright Robert Harling who memorialized his own sister through creating the stage comedy at first.
Yeah.
Steel Magnolias, which is set, when you see the play, entirely in a beauty
whole
shop.
Whole thing's at Trufies.
You've gotten to see it.
Yes.
We're going to go see it when it comes here to Franklin, Tennessee. Our Pull Tight Theaters team of actors is going to be putting that on in March. So we'll share more information down the road for that. But there is something very unique and, in my opinion, and I think yours too, in need of preservation.
Yeah.
Around the beauty shop.
That's right. The community that even came with that.
Yes.
So one thing I think is different. I liked that quote, by the way.
I know. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's good. And I was thinking, you know, with progress in certain ways, you do lose things.
Sure.
That were some mm-hmm. of the good parts.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think even the layout is
so different.
That's changing now is causing that to not be the same as it used to be. So many of these, and I was even thinking beauty parlor, beauty shop,
yeah,
beauty salon. Like we hear different words
yes.
for it, but many of the old ones were in homes.
Right. And you would refer to her or him, but usually a her, as a beautician.
Yeah.
And now it's a hairstylist.
Or hairdresser. Or,
yeah.
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 Yeah, beautician.
I don't know if anyone even says beautician.
I haven't heard that word in
anymore.
A while. Yeah. So there's things that are, you know, different even because of the layout. So yeah. in the layout in a home, there would have been, you know, one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Stylist.
Sure.
That's it. I'm
two
using
chairs.
The word stylist. Beautician.
Yeah, two chairs.
And a rotation of who's there. There's many chemical treatments being done,
mm-hmm.
be that perms or highlights or
yeah, things that
hair
take
color.
Several steps.
So there's several steps, and so they're rotating what chair you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, are you getting your hair washed? Or are you getting it
yeah.
set? Or are you
yeah.
getting
yeah.
it dried? What's
yeah.
happening? And so all of those people could talk.
Sure.
Now it's so the salons are often set up where it's just you and your person.
Your stylist, yeah. And yeah,
and there's even often dividers.
Siloed.
And then there's,
yeah.
right, the
yeah.
next one. Sometimes you can kind of overhear, but with hair dryers going, probably not.
Yeah.
With lots of hair dryers going.
Yeah, there's different, there's even like a different kind of culture, I think, that each salon probably has. Like, there's probably some where if your stylist is very, you know, extroverted and even speaks loudly, then
yeah,
they're
yeah.
going to almost
That's
want
right.
to draw in and engage the chair to their right or left.
Uh-huh.
But if, I mean, like my stylist is really quiet and she, I love her. She's very friendly and we enjoy a conversation together, but it doesn't go outside of the two of us.
Yeah.
When we're,
okay.
when she's working on my hair.
Like, that's pretty much mine. Now she'll rotate where, since I'm usually just a cut.
Right.
There's somebody sitting that's got
that she's
color
also working on
or highlights on. And so sometimes there's three of us.
Okay.
And you can sometimes have conversation with the one right behind. So occasionally there's four
yeah.
of us talking.
But you're not like facing each other a lot of
right.
times.
Or
yeah.
your head maybe. Yeah. If you're under a dryer, you're not hearing as clear, that
yeah.
kind of thing. But, I do know that the girl that does my hair occasionally has friends that come literally each 6 weeks or whatever together.
Are you serious?
So that they can do that.
Well, that's fun.
And the last time I was there, I had given a referral to somebody at our church and I come in the door and she was there. So we got to have a little exchange
fun.
And that was
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. But there's so many salons now.
That's another thing I was going to say. So there used to be in a town maybe three choices
right.
of who you're going to. I mean, not a lot of choices.
Yeah.
And I think in small towns, it's still more like that.
Sure.
In Franklin, Tennessee,
yeah, I don't,
you have...
I don't run into people I know.
Literally hundreds of
yeah.
choices.
Yeah.
So, and I even think it's interesting, too, one of the things that's changed is just the amount of people that move. They move
yeah.
cities.
Transient people. Yeah.
And so that's always changing. And even the stylists are constantly moving.
That's true.
Either moving salons or moving
yeah.
cities.
Yeah.
And so you're not consistently with one person for the longevity
yeah.
that you used to be.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to open up to somebody about.
Yeah. How long have you been with your hairstylist?
Do you know? Probably been with her 10 years now.
Wow. See, I think I've only been with mine 3, but I feel like in that, you know, maybe year one, it felt like this is just, you know, a normal hairstylist relationship. But mm-hmm. year 2 and 3, I had more of that connectedness to mm-hmm. her where I was like, yeah, I want to be sure and ask her about blah, blah, blah.
It might be longer than that, actually. Yeah.
10 years is awesome.
It might be longer than that. I've known her even significantly longer
yeah.
than that. But
yeah,
yeah, in that while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does take a while to build up your, what the subjects you're talking about.
Sure.
You're not going to, well,
especially if
that
you're
depends
not
on the person, but
the type of hair care that you get is going to require you know, more or less appointments.
That's true.
So I don't see her super frequently because I'm just doing cuts every so often. Right. And she's really hard to get into. Like, really hard to get into. Word is out. So I'm not even going to give her name on here because she's already so hard to get into.
But I do think that that plays into the change is now, you know, the layout of the salon's different. The things people are doing is different.
Yeah.
So,
but the nature of the conversations, I think, is still there. Like, I still think if you're in an environment where you're spending, let's say, 2 hours, and that can happen even with just a haircut. Like, my hair is long, and it oftentimes takes 2 hours to shampoo, cut, and style. You still want to get to a place where you can spill your heart.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and I think that is a funny thing about hairstylists. And then I'm a massage therapist. It happens with massage therapy too, where somebody's coming in for a service and there's just something about you lay it all out.
Yep.
People just have a tendency to really open up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure certain stylists or massage therapists or whatever, cultivate that more than others too.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's just interesting how,
how many psychology classes do hairdressers have to take? Zero. I know, but how many should they take?
I was going to say, so be careful who you're going to, you know, for counsel.
You're sitting in their chair and oftentimes it can appear as if you're on the sofa.
Exactly. That is so funny.
Paying for someone to listen to your woes and heartache.
But I think, and people talk about all subjects. Like, this is not just, I think sometimes it's painted as the gossip center.
Right.
And it could be that in certain ones, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think people talk about all things. Like, you know, what's happening in the city and who's
This
mutual friends you have of what, you know, who's gotten pregnant or, who's, you know, just think different things like that.
Yeah.
But there can be the gossip.
Sure.
Especially
if you know a lot of the same people. It can turn into that
and
quickly.
And maybe small towns, it's even more because everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a friend who is from Madison, Tennessee. His mother was a hairstylist in a home salon,
in their home, a salon.
And so he was a kid.
So she's the owner running the beauty shop.
One woman show.
Maybe in the basement or side room.
Pretty busy place. And he told me that occasionally the newspaper would call to find out if there was anything, any stories they needed to know about.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds like something from a play or a movie, not a real life thing. But I guess that does happen.
They knew she was connected to
the people that were talking.
And wow.
Is that a hoot?
Wonder if she really... If she felt
she
compelled to share things.
I don't know. I didn't ask that.
That'd be a hard position to be in. I mean, it's not like it's...
You want to be trustworthy.
HIPAA that she's violating or anything like that. But
that's true.
Still,
yeah.
You'd feel like there's confidentiality in some
way. That's right. So that I just thought that was interesting.
Well, I feel like the modern version of what we've, you know, what we're kind of alluding to is in the days of old are these... shampoo only dry bars that are popping up.
Heard of this concept. I've never done this.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Like, it's just, you know, a blow dry. Like, you know, you're just really needing style. You don't need a haircut. You may not need a haircut for another 6 weeks, but you've got an event or some photographs or something that you're doing that you would like. I mean, because a lot of times it makes a massive difference.
Yeah.
In how well your hair looks. So I feel like that's the version that we've
of getting your hair set.
And that is meeting the need, but it's different.
It's totally
still
different.
Because you're, those are a lot of times just a walk up sort of scenario.
Yeah.
So you don't even know
who you're getting
is going to be styling your hair.
That's
so
true.
It works for the need. Uh-huh. I see completely that it meets, you know, checks off the practical side of things that yes, your hair is styled, but it hasn't met the other felt need of, you know, that community.
And even that they know what you like. They may know how high do you like your hair.
Exactly.
Your front of your hair. And how do you want the sides of your hair? And that one person that you would go to every week to get your, I still love that, get your hair set. Like I have some women in my life that say, I'm getting my hair set.
So does that technically mean just teased up?
I think of it as
Or is it a perm?
No, it's not, it's a not chemical. A perm.
There's
it's,
no chemicals involved in getting your hair set.
It's, right, cleaned, like, teased, you know, curled if it needed to be.
Right.
And sprayed to yeah. where, you know, for several days, it's not going to yeah. move much.
You've got a helmet, basically, happening. Yeah,
it's not going to move much. For so, so you it just works do it
well
weekly.
For short hair.
Oh, you're right. It's
like the long, medium length to long length hair that's not is gonna, popular.
Right. I think of it's mostly white
older
hair,
women.
White
yeah. gray, thinned out hair thinned too. Out hair
that, you know, so it makes it look really nice for probably 4 days and then it needs it again, but you go once a week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've known several people that they've get their hair set on Friday and then they look nice for the weekend. Yeah. And
that is so, I actually learned a new word that I came across. I had to even look up the pronunciation because I've never heard this. It's COIFFURES. Coiffer? Coiffier? Coiffier.
Coiffier.
Coiffier, I think is how you say it. That's just your hair being done. Okay. Like, you know, if you've showered, done your
whatever it is you do, it's
whatever
done.
Your hair being done, yeah.
Okay.
Is, that's, you've got your coiffure.
That's so funny. It's funny when you. I
saw it twice.
Had
week.
To look up a word today.
Yeah,
And now I'll probably see it.
Yeah.
Again, because that always happens.
I went somewhere and they told me to have my coiffure done when I came because okay. there wasn't going to be time to be getting ready and okay. anything and, you know, beyond when you arrive. And then in this beauty box book, they mentioned it. I was like, apparently this is a word. I don't know.
That's so cute.
So I was thinking, I was actually talking to Mom about getting your hair set and, you know, mm-hmm. just the sort of standing appointment that women had. And she said she used to have like a standing appointment as well, but okay. She was very fashionable.
Oh yeah.
Changed, you know, with the styles. But she said when she went to, cut her really long hair off to go with a really short haircut that was popular mm-hmm. then. First, she couldn't find any of the people in her small town in East Tennessee that would do it.
Would even do it.
Because they just thought it was such a horrible idea. But she was in her probably early 20s, I think okay. she said. She finally found someone that would do it. They put her hair in 2 braids, cut the braids off. You know, she got her short haircut. She kept the braids.
This was pre-Locks of Love, where you would donate
definitely,
it.
Yeah. Then her mom catches wind of the fact that she kept her braids and our grandmother was so superstitious.
Very superstitious.
So she says, that's bad luck. Burned mom's braids.
No.
It made mom so mad. I'm not sure if mom was happy with her short haircut. So I think she also was kind of
holding on to the braids. Beauty that was.
And then those went up in flames. So it was just a dramatic moment in mom's life that she remembered as I was talking about beauty shops with her. But
the burning of the braids. Yeah. Oh, wow. That is a big deal.
Well, I mean, I'm happy with my hairstylist now. It's very different than it's not in a home. It's in a very she salon in Franklin. And I only talk to my hairstylist. But, you know, I don't know that I would be able to find a home hair salon that would do my hair the way I like it, too. So there's give and take with all of it. I get a good French press cup of coffee when I go.
Oh, wow.
Truvy didn't serve that at her salon. I know she didn't, you know.
And I bet she had some good snacks and things.
She probably had some cheese straws.
She probably had cheese straws.
I bet she had like hard candies or something.
Yes.
Anyway, we came across some funny names, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Did you want to go through those?
I do want to go through those. I also wanted to talk about just some different hairstyles and things in the South. You want me to do
that
first?
Yes, do that. Okay. I forgot.
Well,
you
I just think it's funny thinking about things that are different in the South.
Yeah.
Since that's our focus is Southern culture. And one thing I just wanted to say was we like big hair.
We do.
I mean, different regions are different, but there's that funny quote. I can't remember if this is from Steel Magnolias. I feel like it's a Truvy quote.
I do too. I think it is.
The higher the hair, the closer to God.
Closer to God.
And that's hilarious, but there really was something to, especially I think of the 80s when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Big hair was such a thing.
Yeah.
And I don't ever remember literally having competition of that, like whose was hot. But I remember occasionally thinking like, wow, she's got great hair. And it really was kind of like, because it's so big.
It's so large. I get that. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a hilarious picture from college of my friend Terry and I. And one of the things I think is so funny is that in the photo, it's like maybe, you know,
our like a portrait
chest up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And all the hair's not in it.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's cut off kind of at the top.
Like a 4x6 photo that you guys couldn't
make. Hilarious. There was that much happening. And mine was dark and hers was blonde. So it was just a hoot. But yeah, we like big hair.
We do.
And then it's hot here. So we do have hair issues around humidity.
We do.
And so I don't know if that's big everywhere, but I have to use literally like Frizzy's product.
Yeah.
When my hair is wet to help with that, especially in the summer.
Yeah. It just, that wetness and humidity
just,
it tears up the style
thing, frizz thing. So anyway, I don't know if that's regional, but we do like our big hair. Mm-hmm. Perms were real big in the 80s. I didn't have to do that.
I did it once.
To have
I did an at home one.
Oh, yeah. At home perms were huge.
It looked like ringlets, almost so tight that it looked like dreadlocks. It was
like
not,
a Bob Marley
it did not go
it.
Well. Yeah.
But yeah, I just think about, and then hot rollers. I still use hot rollers.
Hot
often.
Rollers.
Hot rollers are big.
Are big. And honestly, you even see some people out with their hot rollers. Like my college roommate, she's a singer. When she was on her way to gigs, the hot rollers were in her hair until she was in her parking spot.
Did she put a scarf over it or just
no.
had them?
Okay. She just, so there was like the pins for your hot rollers all over her car.
Oh my gosh.
Because she just had to keep buying them and she'd lose them. And, you know, she was in a hurry, so they're flying everywhere. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I'm pretty sure you've come over here when I've had mine in.
Yeah.
Like, I have the clip that, like, it's like a plastic clip thing.
Yeah.
So those are all over my head. Yeah.
But every second counts. So, I mean, if you've got a 15-minute drive even to where you're going, some people want that 15 minutes to keep the hot roller.
That's right. That's right. And then, yeah, that's all real. And there's, you know, methods to it. We won't get into all the details of that. But
yeah, I've been learning more about going away from your face.
Away from your face. In certain places, but then
away from your face. Actually, I think what my hairstylist just told me is you should be alternating every other. So you should
to
start
make it so
closer
it doesn't
to your
look
face.
Like a wing.
Yeah.
You don't want wing.
Away
anymore.
And then go towards away, towards away, towards every other should
and
be.
And then my hair in the back is flatter than on the sides. I don't know why. It just is. So I have to curl there first.
Oh, okay.
Because that's going to take
that's
longer. There's just methods to the madness.
What a strategy.
Anyway, and another thing I thought was funny that I came across in thinking about this subject was I have a friend, my friend May, who told me this story of she found out that the girl that cut her hair made these great key lime pies.
Okay.
And so she started buying key lime pies. Like she would go get her hair cut and buy key lime pie in the same, you know, day.
So, multitasking errand.
Her friends start tasting these pies that she's buying and sharing, and they all want them. So then everybody's buying these key lime pies from her hairstylist.
She's got a little side business going.
She had a side business. And it reminded me of our episode that we discussed fruitcake.
Oh, yeah.
And the company that I had come across in North Carolina, it was a hairdresser who started out just sharing her fruitcake with her customers at Christmas, and they all wanted to buy them.
They all wanted that and still wanted her to
do
their hair, probably.
And so then finally this second business was birthed and expanded 9 times now. So I don't think she's doing hair. I think it's all fruitcake now. But
that's interesting.
Isn't that a hoot that
multi-talented women?
That's right. Just sharing
gifted and
their
creative
tasty
and
nibbles, and all of a sudden they have a side business. So
hey,
that's part of community too.
That's so true.
Just love that. So yeah, let's talk funny names.
Funny names. Okay. These are all Southern
as
well.
Southern ones.
I mean, because...
And we found 2 different lists that we were pulling from here. I just think these are so funny.
Well, I just don't know why salon names feel the need sometimes to have, like, crazy spellings or alliterations. I feel like that industry really,
like
champions.
Play on words.
Yeah, really champions. You know, I mean, I don't think a lot of, like, dry cleaners are, cheeky with their... their, you know, rhythms of
it's
the name.
It's probably just the artist. Because artists are
I mean, some quirky, of these are just, these are like, artists, silly.
So. Hit me with one.
Chatterbox Hair Salon out of Georgia. I just thought that was great. Chatterbox.
I found some funny ones, too. Sheer Perfection. S-H-E-A-R. Sheer okay. Perfection out of Louisville, Mississippi. I didn't even know there was a Louisville, Mississippi. There you go.
There's a Scissor Hands in Florida. It's kind of scary, awesome. Even.
How about Curl Up and Die, D-Y-E?
Oh.
Curl Up and Die out of South Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
there's a good pun. Yeah, here's another pun. Hair to Eternity.
That's awesome. Do or Die.
Do or Die.
D-O or D-Y-E.
Oh.
Do or Die.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Good play on
Houston,
words there.
Houston, Texas.
I liked this one. Cinderella Beauty Shop.
Oh,
that was
cute.
Fun. That's in Alabama.
How about New Bern, North Carolina? Sunny and Shears. Tanning and hair salon. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, well, we didn't mention.
We didn't even go there into.
There can be a tanning bed in the background.
The expansion into tanning and nails as
yes,
well
yes,
that
yes.
can also accompany
right.
a full-blown
that's right.
beauty shop still in a home.
Yes, that's right. Truffies, they did, and Steel Magnolias,
they had
nails.
They were doing their nails,
and
yeah.
hair.
Lady Be Lovely Beauty Shop in Tennessee.
Okay.
A little sass there.
Timpson, Texas has Big Texas Hair.
Just be straightforward about
we're big
it,
Texas
right?
Hair. Everything's bigger in Texas, including hair.
Let's see. The last one I made note of was just Die Hard.
Oh, D-Y-E. Awesome.
Die Hard.
And the last one I will mention is Chemically Dependent Hair Studio.
That is hilarious. Where is it?
Dependent. You know? That's Jacksonville, Florida. Shout out, Chemically Dependent Hair.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we just wanted to touch on beauty shops. We think it really meets an innate need that mm-hmm. wherever you live, you've got, which is community.
That's right.
And, you know, I believe the beauty shop's just an expression of how Southerners manifest that in a tangible way.
Yeah.
Of being together and encouraging each other and supporting each other and...
Yep.
Definitely well represented in the movie and play Steel Magnolias. So, well, we're celebrating an important Southerner this week.
Yeah.
Dolly had a birthday.
That's right.
But Martin Luther King Jr. is being celebrated this week.
Yes.
And we wanted to make sure and mention...
just the importance of that man.
The weight of him.
Yeah.
He just definitely is... Not just a historical figure, but left quite the mark on this country.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful that he has been honored well in these last years.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't even go into all the great strides that he made against many odds.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to go into a full-blown history lesson, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about him. He was born in Atlanta.
Okay.
1929, and was assassinated in Memphis in 1968. He was just 39 years old.
39.
So that's really amazing.
That's odd because my husband just turned 39, and I just, like, you just, when you look at someone that's 39, you see, like, they're just getting started.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
so what would have been?
What would
you
have
know,
been?
If he hadn't been assassinated. But, he was a Baptist minister and activist, obviously the most visible spokesperson for the civil rights movement, and all of that based out of his Christian values
mm-hmm.
of nonviolence. And so much we can learn from him, from his legacy. There is a wonderful King Center in Atlanta.
Okay. I didn't know
Georgia that all should visit if you get a time in Atlanta. And then I have not been to, in Memphis, the Civil Rights Museum, but I'd really like
Civil
to make
Rights
that
Museum.
Trip.
Yep.
So both of those important places. And then there's a beautiful monument in Washington, D.C. to Martin Luther King as well
mm-hmm.
that I think was just in the last, I mean, it's been in the last 10 years.
Okay.
But I did get to see that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, he deserves every bit of recognition.
Yeah. The movie Selma did a very good job representing him well, I thought. I mean, it just, even as we're saying some of this stuff here, we're just touching on,
oh,
I mean, a pin drop of what he did and the legacy he's leaving. But Selma does a great job, too, of portraying that instance in his life.
So check that out if you haven't gotten to see it. Yeah. That might be a way to honor him this week. But yeah, one thing I wanted to mention that I was fascinated by, I had looked this up a while back because I was just the name Martin Luther King Jr. is right. unusual to me.
Because there's a Martin Luther.
Because there's Martin Luther. And so I looked up, you know, why he was named that.
Right.
Well, he wasn't named that. He was named Michael King.
Okay.
Junior.
That was his birth name.
His father was Michael King Sr.
Okay.
And his father was the senior pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta.
Which is still there,
which
right?
is still there.
Okay.
And he went in 1934 on a trip. The church sent him on a trip to a Baptist World Alliance meeting that was going to be in Europe. Before he went to Berlin for this particular event, this particular meeting, he also traveled to Rome, Egypt, Jerusalem, and Bethlehem.
In 1934. And this is his dad. This is Martin Luther King Jr.'s dad. Michael King Jr. at the time.
That's right. His father.
Okay.
Goes on this journey, wanted to hit those places before he goes to Berlin.
That was ambitious.
Isn't that interesting? Yes.
And
very
probably
ambitious.
Very expensive.
Probably.
He probably had to
that's right.
put tons of money
into that. And then just, yeah, that's just seeing a lot.
Yeah.
That's not crazy close together.
Right.
I mean, you're spread out. So he goes on this journey, then goes to Berlin. While he's in Berlin, he witnesses the beginnings of Nazi Germany.
Whoa.
Adolf Hitler had just become chancellor the year before. So he's seeing all of this taking place. He's so moved by the his time in Germany and learning more about Martin Luther, who was the birth of the Protestant Reformation.
Right. He was a theologian, priest, or
yes,
pastor.
Priest.
Yeah,
priest
yeah.
In
priest.
The Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And so he breaks away from that, starts this whole Protestant Reformation. And he's so moved by that man's story that when he comes home, he changes his name and his son's name to Martin Luther King.
Wow.
Junior and senior.
Yeah.
So,
and he's just witnessed hate
in a big way. Yeah.
Different people group.
Yeah.
But he has witnessed in Berlin.
And so I thought
the rumblings
this quote was fascinating
yeah.
from Claiborne Carson, who's the King Institute director. He said, thus we can see that Berlin was partly responsible for Martin Luther King Jr. becoming the man we celebrate today.
Wow.
Just fascinating to think about.
Right.
All of that.
Yeah.
So anyhow, this year, Martin Luther King would have turned 90 years old.
90. Wow.
And it's been almost 51 years since he was assassinated in 1968.
Wow.
So just interesting
Do you know
to
if
think
you can
about.
Go to the hotel that he was shot and killed at? Is that
Lorraine Motel was what it was called.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, I don't know Memphis enough to know that.
Yeah.
But, anyway, he's, just wanted to talk a little bit about his legacy. And in mentioning about that King Center in Atlanta, I thought this was really interesting, too, with no resolution to this government shutdown that's going on
right
now.
Yeah.
The King Center is run by the National Park Service, so it would have been closed,
right.
which would be tragic.
Yeah.
But Atlanta-based Delta Airlines came through with a donation of $83,500.
Oh, wow.
A grant to keep that open from this past Saturday through the Super Bowl. Because the Super Bowl's in Atlanta, so they know lots of people are coming. So we're going to pay to keep it open.
Go Delta.
Go Delta.
Wow. We celebrated Southwest episode 9. We'll celebrate Delta now.
Right. So I thought that was wonderful that they're going to have it open.
That's
while
great.
All these people are coming.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have. It's been a long time. Like I'm already would like to go back
yeah.
because I'm sure they've done
Is it an hour, 2 hour visit? Like, it's, I mean, I don't know the...
I would give yourself an hour minimum.
Okay.
Maybe even if you could have two, you can read more and, sure. you know, yeah. savor more.
Yeah.
But yeah, Atlanta was in a, you know, that was his home. Homeland. And then, very important Southerner,
yeah.
very important man.
Sure.
But I just, it does make me glad that with the hard parts of the South, that there are always the good
that's right.
people in
yeah.
The,
yeah.
that rise up
that's
out
right.
of hard stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
thankful
good
for
man.
Him.
Well, we celebrate his legacy, and we just hope there are young men and women today mm-hmm. that are getting stirred with those same sorts of passions
yeah.
to
nonviolent
yeah, to
expressions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is good. Well, I'm going to go for another cheese straw as soon as we break here, but it's been fun talking through beauty shops and great men and women of the South, and we hope that you all have a great week. We will see you here next time. We're getting closer to Mardi Gras, so we'll be hitting that in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
And we do hope that you will send us a message on Instagram and let us know if you've got any topics that you hope that we'll cover here on the Steel Magnolias podcast.
Yeah.
Till next time, we'll see y'all.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.